So this morning, as I was listening to God, trying to hear from him about what to share, I felt to share some thoughts from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to some Jewish converts to Jesus. They were, they'd been Jews and they had come to have faith in Jesus for themselves, but they were in a little bit of danger of going back to their Jewish practices and kind of turning back away from Jesus. So the writer to the Hebrews wrote to them to remind them that Jesus was the reality. The old law was the shadow. I think probably Barnabas or maybe Apollos was the author of Hebrews. Now, for those of you who like to know where the message is going, I know some of you do, four thoughts that I'm just going to share this morning. One is that God's already spoken to you. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't hear God. But I want to remind us all that God has already spoken to all of us. The thought about hearing God with a surrendered heart. Some thoughts around hearing God in the midst of confusion, disappointment and pain. Nobody's ever experienced that, of course. And hearing God through our gifts as we walk with him, wanting to show his kindness everywhere we go, every day, wherever we are. So that's where we're going. The first one's much longer than the other three, though, so don't worry that they're all the same length as the first one. All right, so I want to just start by thinking about, if you have to introduce yourself to somebody new, what do you say about yourself? And if somebody asks you, what sort of person are you? What would you tell them? You've got 37 seconds. Go. Talk to somebody. What would you tell someone if they didn't know you? What sort of person are you? Off you go. Answers there. Sometimes you have to write a bit of a bio if you're putting yourself on a web page or something like that. It's interesting to think about what we choose to reveal about ourselves or say what's important for us to think that other people need to know. Well, God has introduced himself too. And the writer of the Hebrews reminds us that God's done it in a number of ways. And he starts his writing by saying, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways. There we are. Many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And we see throughout the Old Testament many times and many ways that God spoke. There's just a few that I've put up here, but obviously there's a whole range of different prophets. We're going to look at Moses as one of the prophets in a minute. There was dreams, there was visions, there was visitations or encounters. There was the law, where God spoke through the law that he gave to Moses. There was the picture of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the priesthood, all different ways that God spoke and revealed who I am. This is who I am and who I want to be for you. That's how he introduced himself, as we read in the Old Testament. So long ago, we see, for example, Moses has an encounter with God, and God comes to him in the cloud, passes in front of Moses, and he proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And there's God revealing something about himself, introducing himself, not just to Moses, but to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God. And those words are often repeated throughout Scripture as people recall this is who God is, as he revealed himself through those words. We think about some other ways that he revealed himself. And one of the ways that I love is that God revealed himself through the tabernacle, the sacrifices, and the priests. Sometimes people don't learn very well by what they hear. Put your hand up if you are a visual learner. You need a picture, otherwise it doesn't go in. Now, God knows that about us. and knew that about the people of Israel. So he gave them this incredible hands-on picture of who he is and how he wanted to be with them. The tabernacle is just that, the tent of meeting. It was God's hands-on picture. There was an altar where the blood had to be shed. There was the holy place and then the holy of holies. And just just one little section that I picked out that God really spoke to me about this week as I was listening to him was, this is after the anointing of the priests and the preparation for them to get ready to be the priests. This is what it says. This is God speaking. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet and speak with you. So right back there in that setup, God was setting things up so that he could meet with his people and speak with them. He went to meet with Moses and speak with Moses and through the people. There I'll also meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I'll consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate, or that means set apart, Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests, and then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I'm the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I can dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Here, right through Scripture, God is wanting to speak. And that's why the author of the book of Hebrews says, in the past time, in various ways, at many times, God spoke through the prophets. However, that was a lesser way. Even though it was so comprehensive and so many times, that was actually a lesser way, because God had another way to introduce himself even more completely. We're told, if we go on in Hebrews, but in these last days, we heard about the past, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. Listen to this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You know what? If you want to know what God's like, there is an exact representation of God's being, and his name is Jesus. I love that God went even further. There was words spoken. There was a picture given. But now there is a Son. And as we read the New Testament, as we come into the New Testament, we discover time and time again that Jesus is described as that Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. A scripture, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And we're told later on the Word became flesh, and that beautiful word, and dwelt among us, was literally and tabernacled among us. Just as God was in the tabernacle for the old covenant people, here is God in the flesh of Jesus, dwelling or tabernacling among his people. This is God. This is the language that God's using now to speak. You know, Jesus says to his disciple Philip, "Don't you know me after I've been with you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." So the writer of the Hebrews goes on and he says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being." So we speak English and God speaks Son. You want to know what God is, who God is? He speaks Jesus. And anything we believe about God that we don't see in Jesus, we need to reshape. Go back to Jesus. So, I love that. I love that Jesus is so clearly the representative, the representation of Jesus. Sometimes we think we don't hear from God, but I want to ask, have we listened to what God has already said in his Son? At the moment I'm teaching sometimes year 3 and 4. Sometimes I say, you know, after you finish your maths, you can go on with X, Y, Z. Less than 30 seconds later, some child will come up to me and say, "Mrs. McRae, I've finished my maths. What do I do now?" I've spoken it, but it wasn't heard. Sometimes we just need to listen to what's already been said. Jesus has already been said. And that lie that we don't hear from God, well, start by listening to what he's already said. And think about, well, what do I do with what God's saying? What do I do with what God has already said, maybe? And that brings us to our next challenge. And sometimes one of the things that makes us a little bit reluctant to hear from God is sometimes we're a little bit worried that we might not like what he says. Have you ever prayed? I remember praying, please don't send me to Africa. Because it was like, I'm really worried that God might ask me to do something that's too hard or that I can't do. And so I want to just explore for a minute what it looks like to hear from God with a surrendered heart. The writer to the Hebrews goes on in some later chapters and describes how Jesus came to his Father. We know that Jesus spent many times going and listening to his Father, time in prayer. But in all of those times, we know that Jesus came without his own agenda. The scripture says that Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. In John, it also says he only spoke the words that his Father gave him. And even when it got to that very pointy end of Jesus' earthly life, when he was facing the cross, Jesus did not come with his own agenda. He was honest with his Father. He was honest. He honestly said, Father, I do not want to have to go to the cross. If it's possible, if there's any way you can do this without me going through, let this cup pass from me. But he lived his life and he faced his death with a submitted heart. And the scripture from Hebrews 5 reminds us that Jesus was heard. He came to his Father. He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and with tears. This was something that really, really mattered to Jesus, that he wouldn't have to face this. But he was heard because of his reverent submission. And there's something about coming to God and listening to God with a surrendered heart that actually prepares us to hear what God is actually saying. Because anytime we come to God and we've already got the answer that we want, it's very difficult for us to actually hear accurately from God. One of the enemy's best deceptions is for us to come to God with the sort of thought that, oh, well, I'll ask God about this, but actually we've already arrived at our own agenda. And often that is somewhere in our heart, we know that that's not right, but we want to do it anyway. Has anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, I know it happens because we don't trust God to actually know what's best for us. I had a conversation once with a lady who was a believer, and yet she had been so deceived that by the time I had this conversation with her, she had decided that she needed to leave her husband and be with another man. And she was convinced that God was okay with that because of X, Y, Z. And I did feel to challenge her about that, but she was not open to that challenge. And she had got to the point where she was so convinced that she was so set in her own heart about what she wanted to do that she was able to convince herself that that was what God wanted her to do as well. I think one of the lessons for me in that situation was, God, help me to be genuinely surrendered to you. If you say yes, I'll do it. If you say no, I won't. And that in that place, as Brian and many of the others have taught us through this series, it is the Word of God that is our surest protection against just doing our own thing and asking God to give us the tick of approval. Come back to God's word and come back to the wisdom of the elders that he's placed in our lives, if you're not sure. But for me, that was one of the really, really big challenges. God, do I really want to hear your voice? Because it will require my obedience. And that's tough sometimes. Which, like Jesus, might bring us to a place where our obedience is confusing, costly, disappointing, or painful. And some of you, I feel like this is one of the places that the Holy Spirit really wants to land for us this morning, is that sometimes when we step out in faith and we obey God, we think that part of the way that we can be sure we've heard God is that everything works out. But actually, that's not true. Many, many times in Scripture, people stepped out in faith, obeyed God, and their lives got a whole lot worse because of their obedience. That doesn't seem right, does it? But it's true. Jesus' physical life got a whole lot more painful because he said yes to his Father, not my will, but yours be done. I had friends who left their family, left their broader family and took their young children onto the mission field, a step of faith in obedience to God. Then one of their children got a health issue that was so severe they had to come back. All the questions, did we hear from God? Did we get it wrong? Did we get it right? What was going on? What about times when we've trusted God with our children, we've handed them over to him in prayer, and then our children have done things that we think, no, God, I thought giving them to you was going to keep them safe. What about the believers around the world to this day who say yes to Jesus at the cost of their lives? Or their livelihoods, or their property? What about the ones in Hebrews that the writer to the Hebrews goes on and lists? You know, he lists in chapter 11 all these people who by faith did this and by faith did that, by faith did that. And then at the end of the chapter, by faith got sawn in two and by faith lost their children, got faith, by faith were wandering around the desert destitute and with no clothes and by faith were hungry. Like, by faith. And the reality is that sometimes when we've stepped into something believing we've heard from God and it doesn't work out the way we thought, we've got disappointment, we've got hurt, we've got confusion. And I feel like God is just wanting to come and minister to that today, because if we don't deal with that, that then becomes a blockage for us believing and stepping into the next thing God might say. So this is a passage from Hebrews that I wanted. I felt like God was just, we've got Jesus. He was obedient, but he suffered. He suffered because of his obedience. But the writer to the Hebrews goes on and he reminds us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and your love. He was speaking specifically to the Hebrews, but whatever it was, he will not forget your faith. He will not forget your risk. He will not forget your obedience. He will not forget your willingness to say yes. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. There it is. He knows what you hoped for. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. And sometimes that inheritance is in this life, and sometimes it's in the next life. But the scripture encourages us that through faith and patience, we do inherit what was promised. Sometimes it's a prayer that seems to have gone unanswered, or a healing that didn't happen, or something that we were contending for in prayer. If we're not vigilant with our own hearts, we can have that disappointment as a blockage. But I feel like God is wanting to restore our faith and patience and hope. So that we can actually lean in and listen to God and continue to trust him. It's hard. It's hard. Love what you shared, Rachel, about letting God into that blockage. And I feel like God's going to do that for some more of us today. Remember God's character in all of these things. Just quickly, a quick story. We put in an offer on a property in Madawi that we wanted to purchase, and I felt like we had a price, and we stuck to the price, and eventually the vendors came down and met us at the price, which was pretty exciting. They accepted our offer, and then we went ahead and got building and pest reports and all of the things you do, spent lots of money, and then we heard that our offer had been gazumped. It was then that God was saying, well, no, like, it was a no from God, because we'd put that out as a, okay, we'll do it if it's this. We won't do it if it's that. We want to just be genuinely surrendered about it. And I was reminded, it's disappointment's hard, isn't it? I was disappointed. I felt like, oh, I thought we heard. But one of the things that was helpful was remembering God's past grace over property. When we first moved to Madawi, we had a property that we looked at and thought we needed. We had young kids, we needed 4 bedrooms, but this property was in our price bracket and had 3 bedrooms and a single garage that we could probably convert to another bedroom. And so I was really excited about that, and then I felt like God said no. You know when God says no to something you really want? I decided that maybe he might change his mind. So I drove past it one more time this time, and I still felt like God said no. Oh. And as I was on the way out, I saw a real estate agent putting up a sign on a block of land just a few doors down. And I stopped and asked, and it turned out to be just going on the market. We were able to buy it, and we were able to build a 4-bedroom house with a double garage for the same price. God said no because he had something better. And so I drew on that, and I decided that every time I drive past this property that we didn't get, I'm going to thank God that he's good and faithful and trustworthy, and that he has whatever he has is good and better. Anyway, that's that story. Got time for one more point, which is just a really practical thing, that one of the best places and ways to hear, for me, to hear God's voice is for me to be using my gifts or exercising my gifts. I love preaching, I love teaching, I love giving encouragement to people. A few weeks ago I was preaching at another church and I felt like God said to preach on this particular topic, and I thought, oh God, that's so strange. Oh, anyway, I'll do it. So I preached on it, and afterwards the pastor came up and said, oh, you have no idea how relevant that was. And you just think, I listened to God, I heard, because I was using my gifts and God was faithful, he spoke. And just practically, you know, the writer to the Hebrews, this is the last chapter of the Hebrews book. He goes on and he reminds the Hebrew listeners or readers that, well, they probably didn't, probably not many of them read. They probably listened to it being read out. But anyway, these are some of the things, the practical things that you do. Serve here. Don't forget to show hospitality. Be generous and eager to share. All of use your gifts. Use the things that God's given you to minister his kingdom to the body and to others around you. And one of the best places that we get to hear is when we're using our gifts to show God's kindness. I have a beautiful friend whose name is Lorraine. Her gift, one of her many gifts, one is encouragement and one is serving. So I've asked her to come up and just share a couple of ways that she hears from God when she's using her gift of encouragement and her gift of sharing. Just because we're all different. She hears way different to me.
Very different. I'm buried, Bashtal. I'm still teary from that last section.
Oh, sorry about that.
One of the things that I found quite difficult early on is this my voice or is this God's voice? And sometimes I didn't know. But at the time I stepped out and thought, okay, for this particular thing, won't do any harm anyway, regardless. And so I did it. And from there, different things happened that encouraged me to just do some of the things through my gift of serving and the gift of encouragement. And so practically for me, because I have a conversation with God all day, every day, that's how I live my life. It's just one of those things that I thought everybody has in regards to just constantly in communion with him. So we have this conversation all the time. So practical things that I do when I serve, just ideas for you. I go to the shopping centre and I'll ask God, show me somebody I can encourage today, how I can serve somebody. And so through the checkouts, I ask them, how's their day? And I was so thankful that whoever it was said this morning, it's not always about giving the 4 spiritual laws and getting them saved on the spot, because it's about showing love. And the way our world is right now, we need love. And so some of these people who are doing their jobs just need a smile. You're doing a great job. Have you had a good day? Sometimes I go into Big W and I see clothes that are on the ground off the shelves. And I pick them up, and I was with somebody one day and they said, "Why do you do that? That's their job." And I said, "Because this is one way that God is saying to me, pick that up." And now it sounds very simple, but it wasn't about the job. It was about me listening to God. And if I walked past that, I would be so convicted. It just sounds so silly, but I was so convicted because I knew that God had said, pick that up and put it on the shelf. Somebody had got something in the dairy section, didn't want it anymore. Put it on the shelf so that meat would go off. So there's the conviction. Go and pick that up and go and put it back in the dairy section. Now, they're just very simple things, but they're things that God has spoken to me in regards to serving and also encouragement. Who can I encourage today? And different times God said things to me and I think, I don't know, but I'll just go and do it anyway. And one of them once was to buy a bunch of flowers for somebody. I had no idea who it was for, but I just felt that God was saying, buy this bunch of flowers here. So I'm carrying around a bunch of flowers for ages. And then as I drove around the dam, God brought somebody to my mind who lives just at the end of the dam. And I hadn't heard from them, didn't know what was going on in their world, but I just knew that I had to go to the door and just let them know that this is for them, which is what I did. And unbeknownst to me, that person had been in bed sick for weeks and weeks, hadn't had visitors, hadn't had anything exciting happen in their lives. They were very down. And when they got this bunch of flowers and heard this story, it just changed their whole thing. So they're just a few little simple things that I do. The other thing that I do, when we hear a chopper, the Westpac, I straight away pray for them. If there's an ambulance go past, I straight away pray for those people. So they're just little simple things that they might just seem little things, but they're things that God has been showing to me. These are things, and practice those things. And it's practice, practice, practice. And sometimes I don't always get it right. Sometimes I think I don't do it, but then I know. It's like Lorraine. And so no matter how simple that it seems, it's showing love and kindness to those around us through the gift of serving and encouragement.
Brilliant. I love it. I love it. I just love putting legs on. This is what it looks like. So we've come to the end. I'm going to pray what is a benediction from Hebrews over you, this last verse. And I love what the writer says, that God is able, in a minute, is able to equip you with everything good for doing his will. Isn't that good? Whatever you step into, and particularly as you use your gifts, he's able, by the Holy Spirit at work in you, to give you everything you need. I love it. I love that that God is able to do that. And I also felt that today there's just a grace for people to perhaps be ministered to in those places of pain or disappointment or feeling like they have trusted God, but it's been really, really costly. And I feel like God is just wanting to comfort hearts and strengthen faith and impart that faith and patience. These are those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. So can I pray that for us? Thanks for listening. Yeah, well, Father, you know that obedience is sometimes really painful, costly. Sometimes it's confusing or disappointing. And Jesus, you paid a high price for your obedience, for your submission. Jesus, you know what it is to suffer for saying yes to the will of your Father. And so I want to ask for every person here who's experienced disappointment, pain, delay, confusion, who thought they heard and not sure anymore. Father, any place where our hearts have been disappointed or hurt, or we feel protective so that we don't want to get hurt or disappointed again. Father, would you just impart your Holy Spirit, your grace, to bring healing and restoration, to bring hope, to restore faith, to comfort us with the knowledge that you, Father, are not unjust and that you have seen what was costly or painful. Holy Spirit, would you remove any blockages, any self-protection? We give you permission. We want to trust. We want to listen. We want to be able to say yes again. Come and restore us, Jesus, we pray. And now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everybody who agreed said, yes, let it be so. Thanks for listening and bless you. And yeah, I know there'll be people who'd be really happy to pray if anybody would like. Just to sit with God and to process any of the things that have come up from today. Love you lots, and go and demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever you are, using the gifts that he's given you, because it's an exciting adventure. Bless you.